How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
We have 1 week left in the Big 12 football season, and we are in for an absolute thriller final week. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12. Welcome in. Thanks for being here. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up on YouTube. We appreciate that. And drop us that 5-star rating and review. I'm smiling from ear to ear because I can't get over how crazy this final week is going to be in the Big 12 with four teams tied at 6-2 atop the conference standings after upsets and chaos and 15-minute delays at the end of Week 13 games. It was just wild. That's right, Brandon. Chaos reigns, brother. First comment coming out of the gates on YouTube. Let us know where you're watching from. It's always fun to do that. I appreciate you guys letting me know where you're at. Gives us a little insight into where exactly you're watching the show from and listening to the show from. So welcome in. I just can't believe it. This is going to be such a fun few days ahead. So let's get to the games. Then we'll get to the tiebreakers and everything else going on right now in the Big 12 Conference. I'm going to start with Arizona State beating BYU 28-23. So Arizona State jumps out to a massive lead in the first half. They're up 21-0. Cam Scataboo cannot be stopped. 3 rushing touchdowns. He ends up with 147 on the day on 28 carries. But BYU got in a rhythm in the second half on the arm of Jake Retzlaff. And that got BYU back in a position to potentially pull off the comeback. They had some really solid drives, 3 straight touchdown drives in that second half, all through passing the ball, which I wasn't surprised that they took that route. I'm just surprised it took them that long to go down that road. That's what really surprised me the most of anything, right? So then all of a sudden, you've got BYU marching down the field and looking like they might pull it off. But what happens? Retzlaff throws a bad, bad interception, and Arizona State's able to get it down inside the BYU 10-yard line. So this is where it gets hairy. Arizona State's up 28-23. You've got arguably the best running back in the Big 12 in the backfield. But there's only a minute left, so you're thinking to yourself, okay, can we basically run the clock out? And that's what Arizona State tried to do. They tried to run out the clock. Crazy plays, run around, you know, kneel down, the whole thing. Just run the clock out. Rather than hand it off, run the clock out. That was the goal for Arizona State late in the game. Now, it's easy to say they made this more difficult than it needed to be. But here was the fear. The fear was you hand it off and Scataboo fumbles, right? Or you try to do something else and someone screws up and, God forbid, you know, BYU takes it back to the house. But obviously, what ended up happening at the end of this game is that Sam Levitt ended up on the final play of the game. They thought it was going to be the final play of the game, just heaving it up. And you heard Kenny Dillingham explain this after the game. I want to say there was like, 14 seconds left in the game, and they had to run 2 plays, and long story short, they thought they needed about 7 seconds for each play. The first play took 5 seconds off the clock, so they had to take 8 or 9 seconds off the clock on the last play. They couldn't do it. Arizona State fans stormed the field, and then the refs put 1 second back on the clock, so all the fans who were on the field have to get off the field. They couldn't get them all back into their seats, but they had to get them back, like, off the field. So it takes them 15 minutes to do that. BYU has a chance at a Hail Mary from midfield. And this is the problem I have with that strategy. If you're trying to run out the clock, but you're also losing 45 yards in the process, is that worth it? Because then you've put BYU in a position to potentially win the game. And they had a chance. And it's crazy because BYU, I believe, caught the ball at the end of the game, but it was at like the 5-yard line, so it didn't matter. I think it was Roberts. He might have dropped it, whatever. But it was a good throw. Now, Retzlaff didn't have the arm to get it to the end zone. He couldn't really step into that throw as time expired. But with a better quarterback, with a better arm, they could have pulled that game off. As crazy as that sounds, they could have pulled that game off. And that is what is just totally wild about how this whole thing played out. But Arizona State gets the win. And that means Arizona State needs to beat Arizona next week to get themselves to a Big 12 championship game, play for a conference title for the first time since 2013 under Todd Graham. They win and they're in. That's Arizona State after they took care of BYU. Now, BYU is going to need some help to get to the Big 12 championship game. This is now a BYU team that has lost two in a row, lost to Kansas last week, lost to Arizona State, of course, on Saturday. But BYU needs to beat Houston. Then the Cougars need either Arizona State to lose to Arizona or for Iowa State to lose to Kansas State. Not impossible. They still can very much get into the Big 12 championship, but they need some help to get there. They do not control their own destiny. So they've got to beat Houston and need either Arizona State to lose to Arizona or Iowa State to lose to K-State, the latter of which is much more likely. So that's how that one looks right now on both sides of that equation between BYU and Arizona State. Meantime, the other big game, Colorado losing to Kansas. Final score 37-21 as KU becomes the first team in college football history to have a losing record and win three straight games over top 25 teams. How about that? This is the Kansas team that we thought we'd see this year. This is the KU team that we all thought was going to potentially get itself to a Big 12 championship game and maybe, as some predicted, a college football playoff. It becomes a game of, or a season of, what could have been for KU. And here's the amazing part of this game. Colorado entered allowing 3.5 yards per rush in conference play. And Kansas tore him up on the ground for 6.1 yards a carry. Devin Neal was just a boss. 37 carries, 207 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 4 receptions for 80 yards and a score, so his final appearance in front of the KU faithful for the Lawrence Kid was stuff of legends. That's how impressive Devin Neal was in this game, as KU just rode him to a win over the Buffaloes, who had been doing a very good job stopping the run. But what KU did is they negated the Colorado pass rush, which has been very good this season. They were tops in the Big 12 in sacks. And they only had one on Saturday against KU. Now, it helped, of course, that KU was playing with a lead for most of the game. They get out to an early lead. They're up 10-0 after the first quarter. And even though Colorado had a couple of touchdowns in that second quarter, KU never trailed. So it's much easier to have that strategy of, we're not going to let these guys get to our quarterback. Quick throws, run the quarterback, ride Devin Neal. And KU basically sailed to a victory. But as Deion Sanders said after the game, his guys were feeling themselves a little too much. A little too much going into this game. He sensed it, and now Colorado is on the outside looking in of the Big 12 championship game. They need the most help, which we'll get to here in a second. But Shedeur Sanders was good. I mean, it took a little bit to get him going. Travis Hunter, big touchdown, 8 grabs, 125 yards. He didn't have a great day defensively, I didn't think, but he had a very strong day offensively. But in the end, this was all KU all day. I mean, it really didn't feel like it was ever all that close of a game. KU was the better team. And KU proved that it is capable of playing with anybody in this conference. They have done that, obviously, the last 3 weeks, beating Iowa State, beating BYU, and beating Colorado. And it makes you wonder if the first half of the season has gone a little bit differently, if they had won some of those close games, might they be 6-2 in the Big 12, tied atop the conference standings instead of 4-4? I mean, think about it. Think about some of those games that could have gone either way early in the year. K-State a couple of weeks back, fumble by Daniels. If he doesn't fumble it there, that's a win. Look at some of the other close games. West Virginia, Arizona State. I mean, you know, I'm not big into that whole idea of like, well, a bounce here, a bounce there. But KU had so many heartbreaking one-score losses that could have gone the other way, that could have completely changed the way this season has played out in the Big 12, and obviously for the Jayhawks as well. So for Colorado, they need a lot of help to get to the Big 12 championship. They do not have a lot of the tiebreakers. Colorado is in the mix, but obviously has to beat Oklahoma State this week. That is a 10 a.m. local time kickoff on Friday. Then they need Iowa State to lose to K-State and BYU to lose to Houston. That's not going to be easy. Iowa State losing to K-State is obviously more likely than BYU losing to Houston. But Colorado needs both of those things to happen. And Colorado is an incredible story. There's no doubt about it. Colorado would have been just, you would have had, what's the most appropriate way to say what I want to say here? There would have been a lot of excitement in the pants of ESPN executives had Colorado won the Big 12. We good on that? We all go get what I'm going for there? Okay, good. All right, we're all on the same page. They would have salivated over Deion Sanders and Colorado being in the college football playoff. And it would have been great. And frankly, right now, like, Arizona State's playing outstanding. But top to bottom, who do I think at this point would have had the best bet to hang with somebody in the college football playoff? I would still lean Colorado. I mean, heck, at this point, I might take Kansas, but I would lean Colorado of those teams at the top. But they're the ones of the top four teams that are 6-2 in the Big 12 who have the most difficult time getting to the Big 12 championship right now. It's toughest for them out of anybody. So that one in and of itself is going to be very difficult for Colorado going forward. Let's bounce around to some of the other games. Listen, I'm not going to do 10 minutes on UCF West Virginia. I'm sorry, I'm not. I will get to every single game. But we all understand what's on the line here when it comes to Big 12 title implications and what it means going forward. So next up, I will go to Iowa State coming back to beat Utah 31-28 on Saturday, that game in Salt Lake City. I thought Utah was going to pull it off until Iowa State put together that late drive, 10 plays, 75-yard drive. Rocco Becht was in complete control of that final drive. Jaden Higgins was big on that drive as well. And then, of course, you had on a 3rd-and-1 after a timeout by Utah, you had the Carson Hansen touchdown pass that totally caught this defense. Well, it wasn't a touchdown pass, but it was nearly a touchdown that totally caught this Utah defense on its heels. And that led to Hansen, after the big pass, getting rewarded with the 3-yard touchdown run that put Iowa State up late to win 31-28. So if Iowa State had lost this game, obviously, that would have been total chaos or more chaos in the Big 12 championship race. But what you saw was, first off, a Utah team that's still playing hard for Coach Whittingham and that staff, which is absolutely worth something. They're 1-7 in conference play. If I told you Oklahoma State and Utah were going to go 1-15 combined in conference play in their first 16 games, you would have called me insane when they met back in September. We thought that could have been a Big 12 championship preview. And look what's happened to these last couple of months for each of these teams. It has been nuts.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch, full stop. And their ceramic watch material almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Just incredible what's gone on here. So Utah's playing hard. And you saw an Iowa State team lock it down against Utah's rushing attack. That has not been good. Utah hasn't done anything well offensively. But still, give Iowa State credit because they have really struggled against the run. And they held Utah to under 3.5 yards per carry on the ground. So you look at that in particular and say to yourself, if you're an Iowa State fan, you feel better. Now, don't feel great about it because K-State could absolutely carve up this Iowa State rushing defense next week. I'll get to them here in a second. But Iowa State overall is still 9-2. They're 6-2 in league play. And Iowa State controls its own destiny. That's right. Iowa State beats K-State. They're playing for a Big 12 title. There are two teams that control their destinies, Arizona State and Iowa State. If each of those two teams win on Saturday, they are in the Big 12 championship game. Arizona State would be the one seed, and then Iowa State would be the two seed in Jerry World for a Big 12 title. So as much as we've talked about maybe this Iowa State defense isn't what it's been under John Heacock, it was still solid, I thought, on Saturday for the most part. It got a little hairy there in the fourth quarter. There's no doubt about it. You give up a 90-yard drive when you're up by 3 points and Iowa State or Utah ends up taking the lead. You know, Luke Bateri looks like Tom Brady all of a sudden. I was like, okay, what are we doing here? That was not a good look at all by any stretch of the imagination. So that was obviously a concerning moment. Special teams have been an issue for Iowa State, and they obviously were on Saturday. This team's not going to win in the college football playoff or come close with the special teams the way they played on Saturday. That has got to be cleaned up. It's got to improve. It's got to get better. I mean, Iowa State's not going to go in there pound for pound against Ohio State and beat them if they're having special teams miscues. No way. So that's where you have some concern. Heck, they're not going to win a Big 12 championship with the way the special teams played. But they got away with it. They beat a downtrodden and injured Utah team, and now win and you're in. But you got to make sure you bring your A game first off against K-State, then against whoever you play in the Big 12 championship, and then potentially in a college football playoff. So Iowa State getting it done there as well. Meantime, let me continue on and touch on K-State rolling Cincinnati 41-15. I'll touch on that here, and then I'll continue to monitor your comments on YouTube and Facebook and X and everywhere else. Thank you guys for being here, by the way. If you are new, make sure you're subscribed. If you're watching and you're like, yeah, I'm subscribed, right? You actually might not be. So make sure you are subscribed to the channel. That way you never miss an episode. And also, if you're on the podcast, could you drop that 5-star rating and review? It helps us tremendously. So appreciate you doing that. We've had some good ones coming in as of late. And as I've kind of teased the last couple of weeks, we are working through some potential partnerships, some regional partnerships in the heartland of businesses who want to be involved with this show, get notoriety on this show. And if that's potentially you, just drop me an email, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com, or DM me on any of the social media platforms, and let's talk. I want to make sure it works for everybody. I'm not going to take anybody, but I do think there are partnerships that are good fits based on this audience and the people that we want to reach and the people that you ultimately want to reach as a supporter of the show and a supporter of the Big 12. So Kansas State beats Cincinnati up pretty good, 41-15. And while the stat line is not going to say Avery Johnson, you know, had an incredible game, there were moments when I thought Avery Johnson looked like he had not regressed as he had the last couple of weeks. There were a couple of throws in particular where he's rolling out to the left and making really good plays on the run. That's hard as obviously a right-hander rolling left, throwing on the run across your body. He had some plays and some throws like that I hadn't seen before from him. So that was encouraging. And then, of course, allowing this guy to use his legs as effectively as possible, that gets him comfortable. And you saw that in a big way on Saturday. He had his best rushing game since, oh boy, September. I didn't think it had been that long, but he had 10 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown. He had not gotten that running game going against Arizona State and Houston, and you saw him get a little more nervous in the pocket. He barely eked out his total number of rushing yards that he had against KU when he had 67, but when Avery Johnson is comfortable in that dual threat, he's playing better football. And that's what you saw on Saturday night for this Kansas State team. And it was really impressive to watch. Now, all in all, you know, K-State didn't give up a ton of points. I still would want to see more from that defense because, frankly, I don't think Cincinnati is all that great on that side of the ball. And Corey Kiner had himself a big game. Some of their receivers had pretty impressive performances as well, some big plays down the field. But if you're a Kansas State fan, you're still in, barely in, the Big 12 title race. There are a few teams that still, if all chaos breaks loose, can get to a Big 12 championship game. And they are K-State, Baylor, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. I don't think TCU can get in. I've seen some mixed social media on this. Some of you saying TCU can get in, but I've seen all the ways the numbers are crunched, and I don't see anywhere TCU has the tiebreaker if all chaos does ensue. So that's been what I've seen. I'm happy to see otherwise, you know, just let me know, but TCU fans seem to think they have a chance, so you're saying there's a chance, but I have not seen that model break down anywhere. I have seen K-State, Baylor, Texas Tech, and West Virginia still in the hunt, but all of them are under 15%, some well below 15% when it comes to chances that actually does end up happening. DJ Giddens, listen, I'm not an NFL scout, but I have a hard time seeing how a guy like DJ Giddens cannot have himself a very productive NFL career. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a workhorse back there. He's an underappreciated, hard worker, underrated player in the Big 12. And he's one of those guys that, like, obviously K-State fans are going to remember. The casual Big 12 fan is not going to look back in a bunch of years and be like, oh, yeah, DJ Giddens, boy, he was a stud. They're just not. But I'm here to just say, remember players like DJ Giddens because they are so much fun. They're underappreciated, and they're frankly guys that have helped turn the Big 12 tide when it comes to this thought process from 2014 that the Big 12 doesn't run the ball, the Big 12 is all about the air raid. It's guys like DJ Giddens, and there's others like him in recent memory, who have brought that power run back to the Big 12. And it's just a lot of fun to watch. So K-State getting back on track. Boy, did they need that one, obviously. And I'm sure they're kicking themselves because it's a season of what-ifs. Had K-State just hung on to beat Houston, who they were leading in the fourth quarter, they're 6-2 right now. They're in the hunt, and they have one of the best strength of schedules in the Big 12, so the tiebreakers may have very well have gone in their favor. But obviously, that's not the case sitting there at 5-3. Elsewhere around the league, let's go to Texas Tech beating Oklahoma State 56-48. So Oklahoma State is 0-8. Just so you know, Mike Gundy said after the game he's not retiring. His old lady won't let him. His words, not mine. The old lady's not going to let Mike Gundy retire. I don't think he's going anywhere, but they are a stunning 0-8. This felt like an old school Big 12 shootout. Now, I know Taj Brooks had a big game on the ground, but this just felt like one of those back and forth, whoever has the ball last is going to end up winning. Now, this game in particular, you look at for Texas Tech, and you say to yourself, you get a good win on the road against a team that's kind of becoming a rival. I have long thought that this matchup in the new look Big 12 could become a solid rivalry game. I've thought that for a very long time. But it also makes you wonder, where the heck was that Texas Tech defense all day? You're not going to apologize, all right? I mean, Joy McGuire does have this team at 7-4. They win next week. They're 8-4. He's got, obviously, momentum going into the offseason, and it has been a tremendous stretch for Texas Tech to keep building this program and just getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. Okay? All those things I will not take from Joy McGuire and what he's done at Texas Tech, and how, if I saw this right, Joy McGuire is the first guy to have Texas Tech win a minimum of 5 conference games in 3 consecutive seasons. If I got this right, since Spike Dykes to start his career. I thought I saw this yesterday and I was just blown away. Not that I'm surprised by it, but it was pretty darn impressive. So it goes to show you that while obviously there have been some issues and complaints, I know people are on offensive coordinator Zach Kittley, Joe McGuire is still steadily building this thing. And in a conference that does not have any true blue bloods, Texas Tech can make the argument that if they keep getting better and better and better and better, Joe McGuire's got this thing trending in the right direction. So that is darn impressive in terms of what he's done. Now, there's a lot of complaining about the refs in this game and some of the calls in this game, especially as it went along. And some of you are asking about it. Some of you are posting about it. Listen, it's Big 12 refs. We all know that there have been issues this season with Big 12 referees. It's happened all year. I'm not defending them. D. Wayne says Big 12 refs gave Oklahoma State 4 timeouts in the second half against Tech. Let Ollie Gordon throw a couple of punches. Where's the accountability for these refs? Who can do something about it? Listen, nothing's going to be done about it. I'm not happy about it, but even the NFL refs aren't full-time. The conferences, nobody wants to pay the refs, okay? I mean, they get paid well, I think, but they're still basically freelancers. They're part-time jobs for a lot of these guys. And as long as they continue with that model, it's very unlikely things are going to change. So I don't like to boil a game down to the officiating. I know it can happen. I mean, we've seen it, unfortunately, in too many cases. But that being said, if you're a Tech fan, you got the win, right? Despite all the craziness in this game, you got the win. Fumble returns, missed field goals, special teams mistakes, big plays. This had it all. This felt like Big 12 circa 2015. And if you're a Tech fan, you got the win. Now, if you're a Tech fan, speaking of games you're going to regret, you have got to be kicking yourself over that loss to TCU. Because if you didn't blow a 3-score lead over TCU, you guys are sitting at 6-2 in the league. You're right in the thick of the Big 12 title race with a 6-2 conference record going into the final week of the regular season. That's the one that's going to come back to haunt Texas Tech, is that blown 3-score lead over TCU on the road. But still, they have a chance. They play West Virginia. They got to win that game. They need some chaos to break out after that. But it's not impossible for Texas Tech to still find itself playing for a Big 12 championship. I'm just saying. And that, if nothing else, has got to get some of the, not that there's heat on Joy McGuire, but there's always going to be a complaining portion. And that's got to take it off Joey, at least for the time being. Take care of West Virginia as well. That'll go a long way. Speaking of West Virginia, they beat UCF 31-21. They are bowl eligible. They're 5-3 in the Big 12. They also have like a 2% chance of getting to a Big 12 championship game, believe it or not. And while R.J. Harvey had a big day in the backfield for UCF, West Virginia had a better day, pounding UCF's weak run defense. Donaldson and White and Green, these guys just let it rip. And that's ultimately why West Virginia won this game. They jumped out to a big lead, they rode that run game, and never looked back. And now for Neil Brown, you wonder, did bowl eligibility save his job? I know that West Virginia fans are going to sit there and think, gosh, we just aren't going anywhere. We're just like consistently mediocre, 6, 7, maybe 8 wins. When are we going to pop? How long do I have to trust the climb? I get it. I understand it. But what if I told you this? Don't forget, West Virginia was like one of only a couple of teams in all of college football with 11 Power 5 games. What if instead of Pitt or Penn State, they scheduled, I don't know, a MAC team, and they're 7-4, they're 5-3 in the Big 12, and they still have a chance in the final week of the regular season, albeit a small chance, of getting to a Big 12 championship? Would you have signed up for that back in August? If I told you back in August, you guys would enter the Texas Tech game with a small chance of making the Big 12 championship, would you have taken it? The answer would probably be yes. So when it comes to evaluating Neil Brown, unless you know that there is some stud out there who's dying to have the job, and I'm not convinced Jimbo Fisher is all that people are making it up to be. I mean, you know, you're hearing a lot of the retreads, the Rich Rods, the Jimbos. You know, there's always that golden goose of Saban coming home. Come on, guys, that ain't happening. Where are you going to go? What's the best option here? If they beat Texas Tech on the road for 7-5 and 6-3 in the Big 12, I don't see how Neil Brown doesn't come back. They're going to a bowl game, right? Now, Gus Malzahn was asked after the game about retirement, and he said he's not going anywhere. There have been some conversations on our Heartland College Sports message boards from UCF fans, and go join the forums. They're free. Just click on the forums tab at the top of the website, heartlandcollegesports.com. We'd love to see you on there. Once again, it's free. Cool way to interact with us. I'm on there all the time. You hear from different fans across the conference, which is always fun to get that perspective. I guess there have been some rumors, conversations. Gus Malzahn shut them down. But listen, this is a hugely disappointing season for UCF. They're not going to a bowl game for the second time since they've joined the Big 12. A lot of us, myself included, thought they'd be a dark horse in this league. I had them get into a Big 12 championship game. I was dead wrong with that pick. And as good as Gus Malzahn is at getting good players in there, they're not developing and they're not playing like a cohesive team. Emma Morris on YouTube, the old lady excuse. He did not have the old lady excuse like Mike Gundy did. He did not do that. So no, he didn't blame his old lady for why he's not retiring. He just said he's not retiring. Meantime, two other games to touch on here. We've got Baylor beating Houston 20-10. Man, I can't get enough of Bryson Washington. I could watch that guy run the ball all day for Baylor. So let's go back 6 weeks for a second here. Baylor is at the time 2-4, right? And now here we are about a month and a half later. Baylor's won 5 in a row. They're playing Kansas at home to wrap up the season next week. Baylor versus Kansas is arguably two of the best teams in the Big 12 with the way they're playing right now. Maybe the two best teams in the Big 12 with the way they're playing right now. Just like we all thought a month and a half ago, right? I know the game doesn't really mean anything, although Baylor can still back into a Big 12 championship game. There are odds for Baylor to make the Big 12 title game, and KU can get the bowl eligibility. But it's not going to be the game that everyone's locked in on the Big 12. But if you're a Big 12 fan, this Baylor-KU game is like actually pretty awesome. There is, and we'll do more of that later in the week. That's why you got to be subscribed to the channel, because we'll do a full preview show later in the week. But man, this game is just, oh gosh, it's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait for it, because these two teams are playing awesome football right now. Some of the best in the entire, I would say, not just Big 12, but heck, top 20. They're playing like top 20 teams. KU and Baylor are playing like top 20 teams. That's how good they've been. So Baylor rode its defense in this game, locked down Houston, and if you're Willie Fritz, you've got to find yourself a quarterback. It was smart to move off of Donovan Smith and go to Zion Chris. But, man, he looked awful throwing the ball. And it's why they really just tried to ride the run game, but they had to throw it sometime. Baylor was basically like, all right, Zion Chris, beat us with your arm. And they tried to do it a couple of times, and it didn't go well for them with 3 interceptions. So you saw that Baylor defense locked down. Offensively, Sawyer Robertson also made some mistakes. But when you're playing lesser competition like Houston, they were able to get away with it. I do want to see Sawyer Robertson just get, you know, develop more during the offseason. But you've got that running attack that Baylor has built, led by Washington. Oh, my gosh. The only thing, if you're Baylor, is just make sure this guy doesn't go anywhere. I mean, he's right in your backyard. He's a Franklin, Texas kid. But still, you got to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. And I don't think he will. Aranda is serious about NIL. Baylor is serious about NIL. But just make sure you don't lose that guy, because you can ride that dude next year to Big 12 contention. And although technically you're in Big 12 contention right now. And last but not least, TCU beating Arizona 49-28. It was the first game of the day on ESPN Plus, and it was basically the game we all expected. TCU is the better team. TCU's offense was humming with Josh Hoover. They were very good on the ground as well. And Arizona continues to just not look like the team that we thought they were going to be. In large part because the offensive line stinks. They can't run the ball. Fifita and McMillan can only do so much when you have nothing else going for you as a team. And that's frankly what this game came down to. And really, you know, Arizona was in it at halftime, and then TCU just blew the doors off the thing in the second half with 4 straight touchdowns to start the second half. That's the long and short of what you saw on Saturday in this game. And TCU and Sonny Dykes, they're 7-4 overall. They made a big step in the right direction after only winning 5 games last year. 2 years ago, of course, got them the national championship. If they get to that 8-win mark by beating Cincinnati, which they can do on Saturday, they'll be pretty solid favorites in that game. You got to feel like Sonny Dykes has this thing back on track and trending in the right direction. So all in all, very good stuff there when it comes to TCU and what they did on Saturday in Arizona. I mean, Brent Brennan, if you're an Arizona fan, you're hearing some of the rumors. Could they buy this guy out for $10 million after 1 year? Depends if the money's there. But it has been an unmitigated disaster. And this year, and Brent Brennan could set this program back half a decade with the way things are looking right now at Arizona. They could be a perpetual bottom feeder in this conference unless things do pick up. I'm Pete Mundo. We're HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Welcome in. We appreciate you being here, a part of the show. So let's look at the Big 12 tiebreakers. If you're new, subscribe to the channel. hit that thumbs up on the video as well. We appreciate that. So there are two Big 12 teams that control their own destiny. And those two teams are Arizona State and Iowa State. If Arizona State and Iowa State win in week 14 of the college football season, they will play for a Big 12 title at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, coming up in early December. Arizona State plays Arizona. Iowa State plays Kansas State. And Arizona State would be the one seed in that case. Iowa State would be the two seed in that case. What about the other teams? How do they get in? There are 4-6-2 teams in the Big 12 going into the final week of the regular season. What would have to happen if you're BYU, let's start there, you've got to beat Houston on Saturday, and then the Cougars need either Arizona State to lose to Arizona or for Iowa State to lose to Kansas State. So there's still a path for BYU, despite the fact that they've lost two in a row. But first things first, they've got to beat Houston and then get some help against Arizona State with Arizona or with Iowa State against Kansas State. So that's how this works out for BYU. And here's the thing for BYU. They will know by kickoff whether or not their game matters in the Big 12 race. BYU has the late game 10:15 Eastern on ESPN against Houston. So it's like, well, the Arizona State game is going to be over by then. They're playing at 2:30 Central Time on Fox. And then the K-State-Iowa State game will probably be wrapping up around then, so they'll have some idea around kickoff whether or not their game will have Big 12 title implications. And then there's Colorado. Colorado needs a lot of help after they lost to Kansas. Colorado needs to beat Oklahoma State on Black Friday. Take care of business. They're the first game of the week in the league, 10 a.m. local time kick. And then they need Iowa State to lose to K-State and BYU to lose to Houston. So they need to win and get two losses. Iowa State to K-State's not a shocker. I would put that at a coin flip game. But the BYU loss to Houston in Provo is going to be tough, especially with that game being late at night. And if BYU knows it's got a chance, and it will have a chance if that scenario does play out, if Kansas State beats Iowa State, then BYU knows it goes to a Big 12 championship with a win. So they're not going to take their foot off the pedal. There's no scenario where Colorado can make the Big 12 championship and BYU is basically in a game that doesn't matter. That scenario doesn't exist for Colorado. That's what makes it very difficult for them to put themselves in a spot where they need all these things to break right. And then there are other teams who, yes, are still alive, believe it or not. There are 4-6-2 teams, but there are four teams that have a path to the Big 12 championship game. K-State, Baylor, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. Now, their odds are all 15% or less. K-State, according to this great website, Ben Williams Big 12 tiebreaker website, we've got it up on the Heartland College Sports forums. You can go see it there. Just find the forums page, and you'll find it in the forums. K-State has a 15% chance to get to the Big 12 championship game. Baylor has a 12.5% chance. Texas Tech has a 4% chance. And West Virginia has a 2% chance to get to the college or get to the Big 12 championship game. And then after that, if you win, of course, you could end up, likely to end up in the college football playoff. So that's where this thing all stacks up right now. If anybody wants to dispute it, please, by all means, but we've gone through the tiebreakers. The Big 12 has also confirmed a lot of this as well. So that's where the craziest conference race in all of college football stands right now. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thank you guys for being here as always as a part of the show. Just going through some of your comments here. I love that some of you guys are inviting me out to Arizona State. I do need to get out to Tempe. I desperately want to. I don't know when it's going to happen. But trust me, it is on my short list of things to do. It looked electric there on Saturday. And I've got three little kids. My kids are young. They're 5, 3, and 8 months. So I don't know when, but I promise you guys, I'm getting out there because it looks awesome. And we have special Arizona State t-shirts as well. I will link to in the description part of the video, the Kenny Crazies double K t-shirts that we are rolling out, because I think Tempe is nuts about Kenny Dillingham, as they should be. Have a great day. Go Big 12. Subscribe to the channel. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have an awesome day.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch, full stop. And their ceramic watch material, almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.